Now, in 1714, as you know, the quiet world of the Electors of Hanover gets turned upside down because Queen Anne, the last of the Stuarts, Queen Anne dies without an heir. And this is despite the fact that she's gone through 17 pregnancies, poor woman, in a desperate attempt to produce a healthy baby to be the heir of the Stuarts. So, no more Stuarts. Now, the Protestant aristocracy of England look back up the Stuart family tree in search of a Protestant branch of the family who should be invited to come over to be kings of Britain. And eventually, they go all the way up here and they find James I's daughter, Elizabeth, who married the Elector Palatine, whose daughter was Sophia here, who marries the Elector of Hanover. And here we've got our Protestant Hanoverians for the first time. Now, when I said they were invited by Parliament, I think that that's a very significant word. These people are not royal by right of blood. They're royal because of their religion and because they've had the benefit of this invitation from Parliament, which also means, on the other hand, they knew they could be sacked. If they upset Parliament, then maybe they would get the boot back to Germany. And Parliament now placed all these new restrictions on their role, further decreasing their power. And this is the origin, I think, of this problem that devils Georgian politics call the reversionary interest. It goes on throughout the 18th century. If you are an ambitious politician and you can't get a job, a favour from the king, well, then you go and suck up to his son, the Prince of Wales, instead, because you know that they hate each other. And the politicians divide and rule. They stir up all of this trouble. And this had a very personal effect on my favourite Queen Caroline. So in 1714 then, they've all come over to England together to be the new royal family, and they move into St. James's Palace. But very soon, Caroline, my favourite, gets caught up in these battles and arguments between the king, George I as he now is, and her husband, the Prince of Wales, as he now is. It was called the christening quarrel, this particular point of contention. It broke out at St. James's Palace. And it happened, it's quite ludicrous really, it happened because the new royal family could not speak English properly. Now, you've got to feel for them really. German was their first language. Next, they learnt French, which was the international language of courts and diplomacy in Europe. And English came a pretty poor third. They all managed to pick up a certain amount of it. Caroline was best of all, but they had these strong German accents. When Caroline gave birth to another baby, she was very fertile, she had a lot of children. This baby had a christening, and the christening was gate-crashed by the Duke of Newcastle, whom the Prince of Wales did not like at all. He was furious about this. And he said to the Duke of Newcastle, "You are a rascal, I will find you later, and I will give you a piece of my mind. I will, you know, say, you should not have gate-crashed my son's christening. I'm not happy about this." Unfortunately, though, what the Duke of Newcastle heard was, "You rascal, I will fight you." And he took this as an invitation to a duel. He felt that he'd been challenged to a physical fight, which was a terrible breach of court etiquette. So the Duke went off running to the king and said, "Your son challenged me to a duel." And the king said, "Oh, my son's always been naughty." And the king decided to expel his son and his daughter-in-law from the palace of St. James's, sent them out on the street. Now, this was embarrassing and humiliating. But what was worse, the king kept behind the other children as hostages for good behaviour. Now, these are all the children that Caroline would have. But at this point, she'd had numbers 1 to 5. Frederick had effectively been lost to her because he'd been left in Hanover to be the family's representative there. The little baby boy, George, the king kept him behind, but he was given poor medical treatment and he died. Caroline, his mother, never got to see him again. And the three girls, Anne, Amelia and Caroline, they were kept at St. James's and their mother was only allowed to see them on Sundays. Now, this is cruel behaviour, isn't it? There was outrage at this. And I've gone on about it in detail because this is just typical of 18th century court politics. There's all this toing and froing and argy-bargy, and it really explains the building of the place where I work. It explains Kensington Palace. This is my argument. Because at this point, the point of the christening quarrel, the court splits into two. There are the courtiers of the king, older, more respectable, more established, and then there are the courtiers of the Prince and Princess of Wales, who are younger, they're more lively, they have much better parties. At their parties, people have so much fun that some virgins conceive. Now, George, the old king, he decided he had to retaliate. He'd lost so much power and popularity through this cruel treatment that he decided he needed to create a new arena, a new palace, a new place for performing hospitality, for putting on better parties than those of his son and daughter-in-law. So it's quite hard to identify the Hanoverian monarchy with particular building projects because they didn't really have the money to do anything really good. But one of the things that they did do was to rebuild Kensington Palace. It had been built in the 1690s for William and Mary, but the work had been done too fast. And by 1714, it was all cracked and falling down. So the king now sent along architects and designers and painters to redo the state apartments to hold parties. What happened at these Georgian parties? And partying is a real theme of the Georgian age. Well, you can sense from this image just how tightly packed a social occasion could be at a palace. Often our visitors say, why are there no chairs in the room? And that's partly because it was contrary to royal etiquette to sit down in the royal presence. But also it's because all the great and good of George and London came cramming into these state apartments, and there's hardly any elbow room at all. There's also a description of the smell of all of these people dressed up in their finery and sweating and stinking in abundance. I like that one. People would have arrived through the streets of George and London in their sedan chairs. And ladies in court dress, a very rigorous and formal type of dress, had to be squeezed into these chairs, the sides of their whalebone hoops flipped up almost like the wings of an insect. And there was great difficulty in getting in their preposterous high headdresses, as they were described. Sometimes they had to keep their necks back like this and hold still for the whole journey.